Welcome back to the couch, everybody. Welcome to a very special NBA episode today. Max and I are joined by Ben Pfeiffer to talk some NBA draft. Ben is an absolute expert with this stuff. Max and I have both been a fan of him for some time now. And he's going to drop some NBA draft knowledge on Max and I and on you guys. Max and I are both, you know, novices in terms of this draft at the moment. So we are going to pepper Ben with questions. We have, you know, we've watched YouTube highlights, and we have some strong takes. We also have some guys where you're going to mention them, Ben, and we're going to be like, cool, never heard of them. But it'll be great either way. So Ben, why don't you just introduce yourself real quick, tell people what you do and where they can find your work.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all having me on. I'm trying to get like you with the TikTok juice these days. But yeah, I mean, I've been covering the draft for God, what now, like 7 years now, which is nuts. But yeah, I mean, I just write about the draft, make YouTube videos, write for a couple outlets, and, you know, post on my YouTube channel, scouting reports, mock drafts, all that good stuff. So, but yeah, always excited to talk draft for sure.
Yeah, perfect. All right, Max, you got any thoughts before our first question? We're going to just pelt this guy with a bunch of questions.
Ben, you got to sell yourself a little better than that, man. You are incredible at your work. Like, I don't know. I highly recommend checking out your Twitter
or his
Ben's Twitter. Like, this guy's creating different metrics and things like that. And as NBA nerds, this is something that I'm super interested in. And your analysis, like, you're watching like high school basketball. you're doing all the work, so
he's
really
hand
cool.
Tracking passes, guys.
Yes, hand tracking passes. Yes, it's insane. So some, like, your work is really, really unique and awesome to watch. And as someone that's trying to like learn the game more, I keep coming back to you just to, you know, kind of figure out like what I'm actually talking about and what I'm even looking at. And I love when I'm looking at a prospect and I think a certain way, and then I look back and I see that you, like, the way you looked at it, and I was like, oh shit, okay, I'm on the right line here, because Ben's saying seriously, like, if you guys don't know who Ben is, check out his content on everything that he's posting, like YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, because he's putting out some great stuff. All right, enough of this. Let's get into the questions, Jordan, because these are some good ones.
Yeah, start us off, go ahead.
Okay, first question. Let's start off with an overarching one. If you had to describe this draft in a sentence, Ben, what sentence would you pick?
One sentence. Very good. Maybe even great. Not the most special draft of all time, top to bottom, but teams with lottery picks, teams with a top two pick especially, are going to be very happy. That was a huge run-on sentence.
I was going to say, we need punctuation maybe, but that works as one sentence. What's holding this class back, do you think, from being great?
I just don't think there are multiple, like, or, you know, to me, there's only two, like, blue chip, franchise changing, no doubt about it, superstars, being Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper. Whereas, like, next year, I think, has three of those guys. You know, Cooper Flagg is awesome, but he's not Wemby. I don't think this is necessarily, like, the quality of top talent as, like, a 2018 draft with Luka and Trey and Jaren. And obviously, like, Shea and Brunson and them came out of that. But, yeah, it's a really great class. I think the lottery depth is really good. Like, there's more than 14 players in this class who are lottery level talents for me. It's definitely going to fall off at some point, as every draft does, especially with like NIL and stuff impacting a lot of like returning decisions. But yeah, it's a fun class.
Yeah. Definitely. You mentioned Harper as a no doubt superstar kind of guy. Obviously Flagg is the surefire number one pick. Would you say in most other drafts or in some other drafts, like, how would you describe how many other draft classes Dylan Harper would be the number one guy? Is it a lot or is it just a few?
I feel like he's like I think of Harper as like a median top pick. Like, I'd probably take him number one in last year. I mean, for sure, I'd take him number one last year. Probably would have taken him number one in 2020, though. I think him versus LaMelo is close. Same with like him versus Paolo versus Chet, I think is like a close discussion. But I think all of those, you know, like your LaMelo's, your Paolo's, it's just like, got, you know, you're not like a special super, super, superstar number one pick, but, you know,
Right.
there's certainly worse number one picks than a guy like that. And
Yeah.
yeah,
Well, that's a
this
great way
class
to
has two number one picks.
Yeah, I mean that's a great way to put it to contextualize just how good Harper is, comparing him to those other guys. But who would you say is your personal favorite prospect in this class? Not just who the best prospect is, but the
Man,
guy
this
that
is
you
tough.
have enjoyed watching the most, and also where do you want to see that guy land in the NBA?
Man, that's tough. This is such a fun class. I love watching so many guys. If I had to pick one, I'd probably say Jeremiah Fears. Just someone who I've enjoyed watching for a long time. I've been a fan of his since he was in high school and an AAU ball, and he obviously balled out Oklahoma. I just really enjoy watching like shifty ball handling, advantage creating guards. And I think he's also really good. Obviously, that helps. Like, you know, it's not just me. He's top five for consensus and stuff. But I would love to see him. I mean, in terms of teams that like could be good for him, I think like Miami would be really cool. I think they could use like a real lead initiator star guard. Toronto is another one that I like a lot just because they have like the defensive infrastructure. Like they have so many long athletic wings and just guys who do stuff on defense, and they don't have a guy who's just like a pure lead point guard, which I do think they need. Those are
Quickly is
probably
not doing it for you?
off-top.
Quickly is not doing it for you?
I think Quickley's fine. I mean, I don't think he's a lead guard by any means. Like, I don't think he's, you know, it was probably a bit of an overpay,
Yeah.
by my estimation. But like, again, I think it's like you have guys like Quickley, right? Who are, you know, you could definitely see their value. Like, they're good players. Quickley has his moments, but very dependent on other players, I think, to be at their best. And I think Fierce can be a guy who, like, everyone's dependent on other players to some extent, but who can be you know, who can be the guy who makes life easier for all of the other guys on offense. And I think everyone else on like a Toronto, for example, could make life easier for Fierce on defense. But yeah, that's probably my personal favorite guy, you know, just independent of my actual draft opinions. I just think he's super fun to watch. But there's so many players in this draft who I think are really fun. Like, it's a really enjoyable class to evaluate for me.
Definitely, definitely see that. yeah, the brief, like just through watching college ball through the what's it called, through March Madness, and looking at some of the guys just on the, you know, on the mock drafts, trying to watch some film on them. I've had a great time watching these guys. I think this is going to be a really fun draft. And yeah, so that's a great pick there, Jeremiah Fears. Hopefully he can get paid if he goes to Toronto, because God knows they like paying their guys up there. So yeah, good pick there. Who is this year's Matas Buzelis prospect for a guy who slips in the draft, but then by the end of the NBA season, a bunch of teams are left, you know, sort of kicking themselves for not picking him?
Good question. Yeah, I was a big Buzelis guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see him thriving. He was awesome. Just based on the consensus board that I'm looking at right now, it's a good question. I think LeBaron Fialon is probably like the main one I think about is like players in like who I have in like the lottery range who are mocked way too low. Alabama freshman guard. Just an incredibly shifty, athletic, twitchy point guard who can get downhill, great passer, great defender, improving shooter, just like needs to get better as a scorer and an on-the-ball player, but just has so many good traits that I think are valuable in a lead guard. And then I think depending on how far a guy like Derek Queen falls, or he's one who could be all over the place. Where he obviously has like so many high-end traits, and there are some teams who are just gonna like be all over his upside, but other teams will just like be scared about his defense and his motor and like some roster fit stuff. So I could definitely see a world where Derek Queen goes like, I don't know, like 12th or something, and you know, he's an obvious like all rookie guy, and everyone's like, how the hell did we let this guy fall so far? So I'll say Queen or Phylon are my two main answers for that question for guys. So I'm like, that guy could be good.
I'm glad you brought up Derek Queen. So I was watching your YouTube mock draft, and Derek, you have him going to the Wizards at 3 on the one that I watched. Could you walk the audience through your rationale for this pick, and how could you see him fitting it in Washington? Because I think Jordan and I were on FaceTime, and I watched through that video, and I live reacted and was like, oh, I don't really get that. And then Jordan can vouch for me. I like just totally broke it down and was like, oh my God, I kind of love that fit. And I totally get what you're saying. I think when people first see it, they're like, what the fuck? What, like, why would you
Yeah, he's
sort
just
of
like
take a
not
chance on him?
projected that high. I
Yes.
mean,
And then you talk it out and you're like, whoa, this actually makes sense. Like you have Sar, defensively being able to like kind of back up his woes, if you will. And he just makes such a fun lineup. So could you kind of walk the audience through that?
yeah, that's one of my favorite fits. And again, and then like a mock like that, it's more like what
Yeah.
I would do than I don't think that would actually happen in real life, all things considered. But yeah, like you said, I think Queen is very much like a specific roster fit guy where you need a plan and you need a positive infrastructure with him, which definitely could be like a reasonable negative for some people, in terms of Queen. But I think the ideal player to pair with Queen is like a stretchy ground covery five, which like there aren't that many of them in the league, but I think Alex Sarr could certainly be one of them, assuming he can, get his percentages up from three, which I think he will eventually. But the Wizards still need like a 1A scorer. Like they just don't have that guy. And obviously you want to get Harper or Flagg in the draft. You want to land in the top two, obviously. But if you can't, if they don't get a top two pick, I really like Queen as a consolation prize because I think he can be that primary scoring option. And the Wizards have a lot of good defenders on the roster. They have some promising shooters. Like, I think Bob Carrington's going to be a great complimentary guard. I'm a big Bilal guy. I don't know to what extent he factors in long term, but I'm a fan of Corey Kispert as just like a role player. So I definitely think he makes a lot of sense. Like Sar and like Bilal and those guys help him out. And I think he helps everyone too by being like a real advantage creating threat, someone who can get downhill and bend defenses as a scorer. And I'm just like a fan of the Wizards process. Like I like their new front office. I like Brian Keefe. I think they did a good job this season with, as good as like a, high lottery team can do, right? In terms of just like prioritizing development and stuff. But yeah, that's my main case for Queen there. But there's like so many guys that the Wizards could go with in that situation. But Queen would be my favorite.
Sure. Yeah, I'm more of the when you're bad, just taking best available and not
For sure.
necessarily drafting for fit. I
I
think that
agree.
ties a lot of teams up, and I don't love when you don't take a prospect because you're like, well, what if he doesn't fit? It's like you guys are bad. Figure it out
Right.
later. So I think that's sort of, I actually think in the other realm of that is like you can take reaches when you're at three and you're bad. Like I know there's potential, like if it doesn't work, you're still going to be, picking there next year, things of that nature. It's not like they're picking high and they're right on the cusp. And it's like, this is the year where you need to get someone super important to bring in the building and sort of figure out what you're trying to do. They can afford to make a mistake. So I'm not a, I think if I'm them, and I totally agree with you, like, why not take a shot at Queen, someone who has this tremendous upside,
Right. It's like
potentially.
when you're in that spot, I think the best thing to do is just like to take a bunch of stabs, throw a bunch of
Yeah.
darts. Like the Wizards have multiple picks in this first round. They obviously had three first round picks last year. Like I think they clearly understand that the best way to grow your talent pool is just to have a lot of picks because
Yeah.
that's the best way to ensure that you're going to actually get players. Because, as the best, most confident evaluators are going to miss on guys, even players who are supposed to be surefire stars. It's just how it goes. So I do like the Wizards process, and yeah, I'm pretty much always a best player available type of person. Just because roster fit is so volatile in the league, like rosters change so much year to year, and a player who's a good fit today might not be a good fit in 2 years, or vice versa. But I do think it's important to consider like timeline and environment, right? Like, I don't think it would make sense for the Wizards to take like I don't know if there's really anybody like just like like an older, low ceiling
Connect
prospect.
last
Yeah,
year, yeah.
sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a perfect example, right? Like, good player would probably fit on their roster. Like, you'd have no problem fitting in, but it just doesn't match the timeline and doesn't necessarily fit with, wanting to grow and just like play young players through the fire. But Yeah, I think that's generally how I view the draft. I mean, definitely for rebuilding teams, but just in general.
Sure. And plus he's a kid from the area. He's from Baltimore, so that's like DMV area-ish. So it's like he
That would be
wouldn't be
cool.
going home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool for them. So yeah, Jordan, what was your next one?
All right. Ben, who are your island guys? Max and I own some real estate on Ron Holland Island. I actually think you do too, Ben, if I'm not mistaken. I think
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, you're a
I was
Ron
gonna say, I was
Holland
getting the
fan.
paper the other day. I thought I saw you out there.
Absolutely. I got a nice condo out there.
Perfect. So who are the guys that you feel like you're higher on than everyone else? Like you look at a draft board and you feel like you're going crazy that these guys aren't higher.
Good question. I mean, we already talked about a couple of them. Phylon, Queen, Fears are three that I'm higher. Even though Queen and Fears are like generally viewed as lottery picks. Noah Penda is another one who I'm a lot higher on than people. I have him as a lottery guy. Consensus board sees him as like a late first, early second round pick. 6'8". French forward who is just a really excellent defender already. He's 20 years old and is one of the best defenders in the French league this season, and just like a very good athletic player, great instincts, great off-ball defender, smart player. And I think has some real offensive upside as well. Is like a playmaker, great passer, has some like handling flashes, has improved as a shooter. Just a player who I view as one of like the three or four best defensive prospects in the draft, who I think has quite a few pathways to being a really valuable offensive player, even if, you know, he's far from a guarantee to be an offensive, a great offensive player. Other guys, Darion Williams, Texas Tech wing forward, people who watch the tournament will remember some big performances from him. He, I guess, could technically return and transfer. Consensus board has him as like a mid-late second round guy, and I think that's crazy. Like he's 6'6", strong as hell, excellent shooter, really smart with the ball, can dribble, can shoot, can make plays out of the pick and roll. Like just someone who I have a lot of confidence in ending up as an NBA guy. I don't even think I don't know where consensus and where boards are gonna be with Tahaud Pettiford. Obviously, someone who could return as well, but he's gonna be like the tiny guard who I, you know, fall in love with and probably get burned by this year. Like he's just so good though.
Rob Dill.
I mean, he's like 2 inches shorter than Rob Dillingham,
Yeah.
but
Oh,
yeah, I did
boy.
love Rob Dillingham, and like I'm more willing to bet on these guys, especially because Pettiford is a great like vertical athlete. He's super athletic. He's an impactful, he's a very impactful defender at the college level. Like has everything I'd want to project like a small guard to be playable at the NBA level. Like obviously is again, he's like a 5'11", 6 foot guard, but just sick shooter, one of the best ball handlers in the class, probably the most ambidextrous player in the class in terms of using his like weak hand to pass and finish. I don't think any player does it better or more often than Pettiford. I mean, I can't say that definitively, but I would just guess. He's awesome. He's again someone who is like, yeah, he's just tiny guards and those guys just tend not to stick in the league. But of course there are like small guards who end up sticking in the league. It's not like none of them do, and they can be really impactful players. So those are some names who I like a lot.
Absolutely. Who is your Den of Thieves 2 Pantera not worth the hype player? To describe that a little bit more, me and Jordan were so excited for Den of Thieves 2, and we went to the theater together to watch it, and we fucking hated it, although it was extremely hyped up. So, are there any players you think are receiving like a bunch of hype from the media or maybe
Sure.
scouts, and you just don't really see it?
I don't really understand. I mean, I understand the reference. I just don't know the movie. But
Oh, yeah.
well, Den
Don't
of
watch it.
Thieves
It's.
1 was amazing, and then they just
Yes.
botched the second one. So it's You know
terrible.
what? It wasn't on my watch list before, so I'll keep it off my watch list for
Good,
now.
good.
But yes, some guys who I'm not as high on as consensus. I mean, I think there's the whole like Ace Bailey thing. Where I don't think I'm like as low on him as a lot of people on draft Twitter, or it's like I mean I think that the stuff with him as like a top three-ish prospect is kind of ridiculous because he's a 6'8" wing who doesn't really pass and can't get to the rim and can't really dribble, but he's a very good player. And like, I don't want to say that I'm so low on him because I do think he's like worth a top five, six pick in the right scenario. Honestly, I think VJ Edgecombe is the top like five-ish guy who I'm probably lowest on. I view him as like a low lottery type just because I'm worried about the offense. Like, despite his great athletic tools, he's like a very poor finisher in the half court. Like, I don't trust his ability to create advantages or make decisions with the ball, and like has crazy defensive upside just because of his tools, but is a very inconsistent defender at this point, which is fine. Most freshmen are, but I see VJ's upside as more of like a Jalen Suggsy, Marcus Smarty third guard. Not necessarily like those players skill set wise, just like role and impact wise, which is still a very good player, don't get me wrong, but not someone I want to take in like the top three or four of a very good draft. But in terms of guys who I like am very apart with consensus, funny, they're off back to back to back on the consensus board. Yegor Demin, Noah Esangwe, and Asa Newell are three guys who I Esangwe I've gotten a little bit higher on, but I still view him as like a late first round guy where some people on draft Twitter have him like top five. Like, I think second youngest guy in the draft, the Cooper Noah Esangwe, French forward who plays in Germany. He's like crazy tools, really young, just like insane length and size and fluidity for like a 6'9", 6'10" wing, just like very theoretical. When I first started scouting, like years and years ago, I feel like I was really into these like I was really into these like theoretical wings, like these like athletic toolsy freaks who just couldn't really do a lot on the court. But I kind of have gone away from that. I think it's just like a hard archetype to get right. And Esangwe, well, like definitely has some production and impact in a young league, but I'm more open to him just because he is such a toolsy guy and he is really young. But I'd say I'm more I like the most strong disagreements are probably Asa Newell, the Georgia freshman big, who I've seen plenty of people have in the top 10, who he's just someone who I view as like a role player big, like a someone who can be like a solid starter at his best. That's just not someone I'm taking in the top 10 of a good draft where I think he's a bit short to be a center. Is a very like mobile big and can play on the perimeter a bit. I think can be a good defender, but not someone I see as having like the tools or instincts to be like an elite defender. And then offensively, like saw fine shooting projection, but I definitely wouldn't like bet on him to be a great shooter, like great finisher, but really low feel, poor passing guys. Like the smaller centers who aren't like plus playmakers are just like a really hard archetype to bet on. So Newell, another one who I'm not as big on.
So what's the
I
deal with
think
Yegor? Because there was so much hype with him, and there was a lot of talk around, what he was going to do with BYU. And I think there is still this prevailing thought that he is probably the most special passer in the draft. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think a lot of people do. I mean, what is holding you back with him?
Yeah, I mean, Yegor is interesting. I think so much of the hype from him was like he had these amazing games against like terrible non-conference teams early in the season, and I think that probably boosted his stock a little bit and then kind of hasn't fallen down. Whereas even during that, I was like, I think we should wait until he plays real opponents to see if he can get downhill and score against them. And spoiler alert, wasn't really able to do that. Where I think I generally agree that he's like a very high level playmaker. I don't know if I'd say he's like the best passer in this class, clearly, but I definitely think he's up there in like the top three of just pure passers. Like really crazy processor. Does like miss some reads, but yeah, just a very impressive like spatial awareness, manipulating pace and space. Like has like a sixth sense for finding open teammates and like punishing defenses who like fuck up and leave gaps. But it's hard to be a plus playmaker when you don't have the scoring threat to go along with it. Like Yegor's always been a very like inconsistent shooter. He's got the volume. Like he plays like a shooter, but the shots have just never gone in. And then in terms of getting downhill, creating separation off the dribble, finishing, scoring. Like, we just really saw his issues get exposed by high level athletes. And like, I do think Yegor, like, at least he does have this like very special trait that I think is worth betting on at some point. But I see him more as like a late first, early second round dart throw rather than, this lottery lock. And honestly, I kind of wish he would have stayed in school, because next year, I mean, AJ DeBanza, one of the top guys in 2026, possible number one pick, is going to be there. I think he could have done really good things for his stock, like showing he can be a complimentary player next to another star, big star wing, because like that's probably going to be his role in the NBA. But at this point, yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in Yegor at his current kind of point, but I think at some point in the draft, he's interesting. And, oh, one more, who I think is pretty overrated is Liam McNeely, the
Oh, I'm
UConn
with you
kid,
there. Yeah, I'm with
who,
you there.
yeah, it's just like the league loves their like tall shooting wings.
Yeah, white dudes. Just, yeah, I'm
And
with you.
he's someone who I just think, like, as a high school prospect, definitely like really interesting, and in this range, I agree with it, but I just don't think answered enough of any of the questions when it comes to like, scoring efficiently or defending or and stuff like that. He just really struggled at the college level to do much aside from shoot the ball. I mean, he shot 32% from three. I'm not worried about the number, because his indicators, his volume, free throw, shooting track record back to high school, he's gonna be a great shooter. I'm not worried about that. And there is like value, right? And just like a tall guy who shoots the ball, but not lottery pick value to me.
Gotcha. All
Absolutely.
right, next one. Who are your Giannis Antetokounmpo project picks? Obviously, Giannis was super raw coming out of the draft, but also just this specimen freak athlete kind of guy. So who is a guy or a couple guys this year that you think have a ton of the tools but are just super raw in terms of their skill that might take a little bit of development but have a pretty high upside if they pan
For
out?
sure. And before this, I have a take on prospect Giannis, which is that he was way less of a project than people think.
Okay.
I have a YouTube video from like a couple years where I broke down some of his prospect film, and I was like very surprised at how skilled he was as a passer and a ball handler. Like, I was shocked at how advanced he already was based on just like how I'd heard people talk about him as a prospect. So I'm like, oh, he's like a raw, toolsy guy. But point being, anyways, off my soapbox, I think I think a Sengwe, I mean, is one of the kind of main guys for that, right? Just like crazy bundle of tools that has, there's a lot to unlock. But we already kind of talked about him. I think Maluwash, in like a weird way, very different role from Giannis, but I think someone whose argument is like mainly, or primarily physical tools based. I mean, there's the touch component where Maluwash has awesome touch, but I mean, he's like 7'2". I believe he has a bigger standing reach than Wemby, which is crazy. Just an enormous
Yeah.
guy who is insanely fluid, moving on the perimeter and like changing directions for his size, who needs a lot of seasoning on both ends of the floor, but has a lot of potential. Another one of those guys, definitely Carter Bryant, Arizona freshman wing forward, who is again another one of these crazy athletes. But I like Bryant more than like these, you're like a Sengwe types, because I do think he was very like productive and impactful in a lot of ways that matter. Like, he was a really good like high volume 3-point shooter this year, even if it was just like open corner threes. Like, that's all he really needs to do in the league to be effective as like a 3-and-D forward type. And then just like a stupidly good athlete, explosive, fluid, changes directions, was an excellent like weak side rim protector this year, can guard the ball as well. Like, raw, gets backdoor cut, isn't always technically sound. And then offensively, I think he's got a little bit of like playmaking chops, and he was a super good finisher this year. He was like 77% at the rim this season, but very low volume. Just doesn't do much on offense. Another guy who I like kind of wish we could see at Arizona for a second season in a higher usage role, but I get that's just not how this works. He's someone though who is certainly a, just high-end physical tools bet, someone who, if a team is really into that, can potentially mold him into something impressive. And then two more, I'd say physical tools based bets. are Drake Powell, North Carolina freshman wing, who I was kind of surprised that he even declared for this draft just because he had a kind of quiet season for North Carolina. Like, wasn't super productive, like, averaged like 7 points a game, but just a crazy, crazy athlete. So explosive and strong and like laterally quick, and he's fast. So he's got some skills. And then I guess the last guy who's maybe a little bit less of a project, but similarly athletically gifted is Adu Thiro, Arkansas wing, who I was just doing some scouting work on today. Like, not a shooter, right? Like, defenses don't play him at all. He's a shooter, inconsistent decision maker, but just like stupidly explosive, 6'8", absolutely jacked, strong. Great finisher, great defender. So those are some names for like your athletic,
Yeah.
your
So
athletic
real
guys.
quick, going back to Carter
Oh, for
Bryant,
sure.
that is a
I'm glad you're doing
guy
this, Jordan. I'm glad you're doing this.
that is a guy who Max and I both watched like the full 18-minute YouTube highlight reel, which is obviously you watch anybody's highlights, they're gonna look amazing. But this is a guy who Max and I both watched, and we were like, holy shit, he's gonna be awesome. Like, he's almost the guy who I thought when I watched him, I was like, oh, this is a super safe pick. Like, he's just going to be. If he can actually shoot like this, he's going to be in the league for a really long time. That's what I thought. And then, like you're saying, in terms of the offense, if there's any sort of development with, off the dribble, with playmaking, with self-creation, then he can be like incredible. So Max and I are both very high on Carter Bryant. And like just watching his highlights, I was like, oh, so he's probably going like third or something. But no, of
Yeah,
course not.
Carter's great. I mean, like, there are people who were like t who are like top 10 high on him, and even though I'm not there necessarily, I get it. It's not like, there's some players who people have in the top 10, and I'm like, I think you're a little insane for that. But Carter's not one of them. Like, he, again, I tend to value like feel and playmaking and stuff like that a little more than just like the raw tools. But like, Carter is, he's got to clean up a lot of like the freshman stuff. Like, he fouls a ton, and his decisions aren't always clean on both ends. But I think that's so common in young players, right? Most freshmen make these mistakes that Carter does. Like, he's not, I think, like, my big lesson for this was like I was pretty low on Jalen Johnson just because I think I over-indexed on a lot of like the freshman mistakes. Like, he was always falling asleep on defense, and he'd make weird decisions with the ball. I mean, there were other like legit concerns I had with him, but I feel like it's just so common for these extremely athletic, tall freshmen to get better as off-ball defenders, to just like get better at basic stuff with experience. And yeah, I mean, Carter's already such a ridiculous athlete that he doesn't have to get so much better. I really do think there's like Jaden McDaniels-y kind of upside with Carter Bryant. Like, not sh positive he's going to get there, but I think it's certainly possible. I think he's a better defensive player at the same age than McDaniels was. Like, obviously he played in like a fake zone in college, but anyways, I mean, he's great, and I understand being really bullish on him. I get it.
Go ahead, Max.
I was gonna say the Pats drafted Travion Henderson, so you should be very excited
Oh,
about
really?
that, Jordan. Yeah, that is I'm extremely jealous. I'm a Steelers fan, and I'm if you keep seeing me look to the left, it's because that's on in the corner, and I'm pretty
I've got the tracker up on my second screen. I'm a Colts
good.
fan. And I'm waiting
Colts
for
fan. Okay.
You were
All right.
unhappy, weren't you, Ben? I think I saw a
Yeah, I
stat.
saw
I was
that.
unhappy. I'm like the only Colts fan who's pissed off. So maybe it's gonna end up being fine, and everyone's gonna be right about Tyler Warren. But I'm just like, I don't want a tight end in the first round who's not Brock Bowers. Like,
Hey,
it's like
Ben,
they tried to trade up for Brock Bowers last year, which I get because Brock Bowers was fucking unbelievable. I'm like, oh, we need a guy this year. It's like,
I've been thinking about this actually all day. You had a tweet about the Browns being dumb for trading out of that pick. I've been thinking about this all day. I don't get what you're saying because I get what you're I do in a sense get it's like you're trading Travis Hunter who has
I just
potential to be
can't
an
get
amazing
over
isn't.
trading Travis Hunter. I get it. I mean, like, I understand why they did it, and I do think getting Mason Graham makes it a little better than like when I initially had that thought. Like, if they took somebody worse, I would have been more upset at, like, I feel a little better now that I know they got like a really good guy, because they could have taken someone like mid or there. But Yeah, I just feel like maybe I'm too, too Travis Hunter pilled, but like I just feel like the
No,
Browns are
like he's
like
very good, but it's the
too
first
far
round pick.
away, as like a an organization to be passing on like a franchise changing talent. I do get it, but like I get the reasoning, but I'm just like in 15 years, are there going to be like YouTube video essays being like, what would the NFL be like if the Browns took Travis Hunter? Like, what's the butterfly effect there? And also, just like as a Colts fan, I'm super upset that I have to see that we have to see Travis Hunter twice a year. I think that's bullshit. And I think I
Fair enough.
shouldn't be allowed,
Fair
but
enough. So to me, it's just, it was like a godfather offer that they had to take. And it's that second first that I'm like,
it was a good offer. It was definitely a good offer.
Especially for a Jaguars team that's going, I don't think they're going to be anything. I still think they're going to be picking. Well, they should have been picking in the high round again. So that's why I was like,
God, I hope so.
yeah, definitely. Let's take a quick break and
As
then
a
come
number
back with
one,
more.
as a number one Jaguars hater, I hope so.
That's a very niche thing to be. I don't think I've ever met like diehard Jaguars haters, which
I
is
hate
funny.
the
That's so funny. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with more questions for you, Ben.
All right, we are back. Max, what do you got for your next question?
Okay, yeah, sorry. We're feeling the aftershock of Tyler Shuck getting picked over Shador. That is freaking wild. But yeah, my next question for you, Ben, is who is Brandon Podziemski's instant impact pick for a rookie who can contribute right away? So Pod's kind of taken, a little bit later. Perfect fit, and he was impactful right away for the Warriors. Like, who is that for you this year?
Yeah, I loved Podziemski. Big fan of him. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like there's usually fewer of these guys than people think, even in like good drafts. Like, it's just really hard for rookies to legit be impactful. But one of the main like I mean, my favorite like upperclassman in this class is Neat Clifford, Colorado State wing, who's really just your like classic do it all 3-and-D wing type, where he improved at like basically everything on the ball, being like a full-time creator at Colorado State because he had to. But I think that's a good sign for pro translation. Like, it's really hard to go from being like a college role player to an NBA player. Most college role players or most NBA role players were stars at some level, and Meek was that. Like, he's dominant, like mid-range creator. Pretty high level passer for a wing, like can manipulate the defense, has some pick and roll stuff in his bag, and like tails old his time, like took a step back on defense this year because of his offensive responsibility, but I think can be a really great defender, especially on the ball. Like, I think is the closest thing in this draft to like a plug and play wing that you just draft, and a good team can just expect him to contribute, or at least I would expect him to be contributing early on his rookie deal. I'll say, who else is going to be a contributor? Ryan Kalkbrenner is another one who I would expect to be pretty good right away. Doesn't have that high of a ceiling, but definitely like this is a weird center class because like a lot of the best bigs in the class aren't like true centers like Colin Murray-Boyles and Derek Queen and Asa Newell. Like they aren't really centers, but no question that Ryan Kalkbrenner, 7'2", Ryan Kalkbrenner is a center. Just like, excuse me, gigantic guy who got better every year. Started to take some threes late in his career. Great rim protector, great finisher. Just like going to be a good, solid rotation big man, which I think is hard to find and valuable for sure. And then I'll go with, I had a name. Who was I going to say? Cam Jones, Marquette guard, who was just a phenomenal player this last year in college, took a bit of a step down as a 3-point shooter, but like I trust him to bounce back at the NBA level. He shot 31% this year, but is 37% on his career. So I expect, I have confidence that this was just like a weird down year. But I mean, he was just, full stop, one of the best players in college basketball this year. Incredible playmaker, great with the ball, so efficient from pretty much all levels, and someone who I think should easily be able to scale down into an off-ball role as someone who, shoots off the catch and runs secondary pick and rolls, and is someone you can trust to make really good decisions, take care of the ball, and still get a lot of juice out of him as a passer and a playmaker. But yeah, those are some names. I think Neat Clifford is the main one who, yeah,
Yeah.
he's the main.
Yeah, cool. Give us some guys to look out for early on. All right. I don't know how you feel about player comps. I know there are some draft guys out there who are like very against giving player comps, but do you have like a most spot on player comp, or like a favorite player comp that you see in this draft?
Yeah, comps are tough. Like, I mean, I think just like people who, like your comps on like you're gonna see on like draft night on ESPN are worthless. Like, but
Yeah.
I do think there's, well, one, when it comes to comparing guys, it's like, is it a comparison to who they were as a prospect, or is it a comparison to their NBA role, right? Because just yeah, I mean, that's very different, right? A lot of guys are very different as prospects as they are as NBA players. And I think, like, usually you need, like, multiple guys to compare to, right? Because, players are parts of other players and resemble their games off of other players. So it's not one to one. But, anyways, any comps that I really like? That's a good question. I've been kind of touting the Cooper Flagg, Tatum comp forever now.
That's our
And
favorite.
yeah, I think people are kind of catching on to that. I mean, I think Cooper can be better, honestly, which is, far from a guarantee, but same kind of, I think they were similar enough as college players, like do it all forwards. And that's the thing, right? Like Cooper was like a way better college player than Jason Tatum. But also it's hard to project anyone to be like a consistent first team All-NBA player, right? Like that would be a great outcome for basically any number one pick. Is
Absolutely.
to get Jason Tatum or a Jason Tatum type player. But yeah, just similar in terms of the way they move, how good they are, how good they were at the same stage as pull-up mid-range shooters. Like Tatum is more wingy. I think Cooper slides more big just because of his, height and rim protection. And I think Tatum is probably a bit more fluid on the ball. But that's what I like a lot, where, not perfect. But yeah, that's one I like. Any other comparisons that I've seen that I like? I do like the Ace Bailey to like Jabari Smith, Michael Porter Jr. type player comparison. It's just like a really valuable, like good. I think Michael Porter Jr. is just like a good case where very good. He was a great. Probably what, like third, fourth best player on a championship winning team. Like, that's a really valuable piece, but I don't think anyone would kind of call him like a legit superstar or like a guy who could be like a top two option on a great team. Or I think
Yeah.
Ace, like,
I
if he
like the
leaves as
sorry to
well.
interrupt. I like
Oh, you're
the
good.
Jabari comp even better, I think, than MPJ
Yeah,
because of the
I
athleticism.
like that
I've
too.
really been enjoying Jabari's defense lately, and he
I
just
like
flies
Jabari.
around and can be in two places at once. I feel like, I mean, obviously I haven't watched really much of Ace at all, but with the athleticism, if you can get him to play the right way defensively, I think that upside is there a little bit more than MPJ. What is Ace really like as a defender?
I really like his defense. I think that's a big part of why I'm still okay with him as a top, six, seven prospect, because I think really highly of his defensive upside. Like he is a impressive weak side rim protector. I think his athleticism just lends better to defense than offense. Like he's not so sudden and twitchy and like explosive to create space in short spaces, but like he's so fluid. He's really good like dipping his shoulder and changing direction. So I think there's like a lot of potential for him as a versatile perimeter defender. I think there's a ton of potential for him as a weak side rim protector. And I think because of that, like I view Ace as like a 3 and D plus plus type, right? Like not someone who I view as like a high-end all-star, but someone who I could see, I mean, I think you can make a reasonable case that like peak Michael Porter Jr. was a low-end all-star level impact guy. I mean, I think that's totally reasonable.
Sure.
And I think Jabari Smith could get to that point as well. But yeah, I think that's part of like a good way to explain like why I view him as a very good player rather than a great player. Ooh. Another comp that I was kind of proud of that I feel like I hadn't seen anyone say that I tweeted that a lot of people seem to say they also thought was good was Walter Clayton Jr. to Coby White,
Oh, that's a great one.
which is just like a very just the thing that first hit me is just like the way that they like stop and start and like accelerate so quickly reminded me of them. Like Coby's a little taller a little more sudden. Walther probably a better shooter, right? Like not so similar, not totally the same, but like score first combo guards who are just dynamic shot creators and shot makers off the dribble with elite handles and the ability to get downhill on top of their shooting. And I think Coby White, just like Walther, can be could especially early in his career, could be susceptible to some questionable decisions, but a really talented player who makes a lot of sense. Let me think. Any other comparisons that I like? There's probably other ones. I like, as a high-end outcome for Jeremiah Fears, I like Kemba as
Interesting.
a kind of approximation, like another like 6'1", 6'2" point guard who ended up being an elite NBA player because he was one of the best handlers and touch shot makers in the league. And I think Fears has, I mean, right now has the handle to project him in that range. And even though he's not an efficient 3-point shooter yet, he has all of the indicators. Like he's an amazing mid-range pull-up shooter. He's a great free throw shooter. His touch is great. He's a, high volume, and he's willing to take and make big 3-point shots, even though he's not like consistent yet. So there's another one. So those are some comps off the top of my head that I like so far.
Sure. Those are all great. I had I see like the more we talked it out, because with Ace, like his defensive intensity was something that kind of stood out to me when I was watching them. 'Cause in the beginning I was watching a lot of their games just 'cause you can catch both Ace and Dylan on the same team, obviously. So it's like, all right, that's two birds with one stone. And I was like pretty surprised at how intense he was defensively. So like I've definitely shifted more towards Jabari Smith Jr. than I was MPJ, because I did have him like in my notes. I have him as MPJ, MIDI MPJ. So it's like, Michael Porter Jr. if he took more mid-range jumpers instead of threes. But you're totally right. Like the defensive, because like with Michael Porter Jr., he just doesn't like he just zones out and like isn't locked in defensively.
For sure. It's like different, definitely different specifics, and they were very
Yeah.
different as prospects, but just in terms of like broad, that's what I feel
Sure.
like comps are good for, right? Just like,
Yeah.
thinking about, how can this player, is there a model for how this player can impact the game or how this player can find a role on a team? Or is there a player who, looked similar to this guy at the same stage who developed in a positive way?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of the like the clearest cut ones to me. It's like that's such a good ace, like such a solid like ace comparison. He like gets the same comparison that Jabari Smith got. Like you'll see
Yeah.
like Richard Lewis or whoever thrown
Yeah.
out
Yeah.
there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. And then I was wondering, I know you grind a lot of tape, but it's also just like crazy amount, like different types of tape. Who is someone that you think can be a second rounder or undrafted player from like a country we've never even heard of, and that becomes like an NBA and an impactful NBA guy? Now, we can use that term loosely, like just someone that like actually is like a solid role player, could be the base or even above, if you think there's any steals in the second round.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not all the way through my international catch up. I usually wait till after the season to do that, and especially since the
Sure.
playoffs are going, I will be watching more international players as the season goes on. It's not that crazy of an international class, honestly. The main guy I like is, I don't know how to say, Bogeljub. I'm definitely screwing up his first name, but his last name is Markovic. He's a
Sure.
Serbian, I think Serbian or Croatian big who plays for Mega, which is where Jokic played, Jokic and a bunch of other prospects. He's like a really skilled 6'10", 6'11" forward. He's like a legit off movement shooter. He can dribble. He's a pretty impressive passer. Just like not a crazy athlete. Has like plenty of developing to do in terms of his frame and his physicality, but just like has this base of mobility and driving fluidity, and I think he's a great passer as well. So that's one in terms of international players, but just like other like second round guys who I think who could be steals who aren't
Yeah.
international players. Okay. I think Sion James is one that people are might, people watch Duke, and people probably see Sion James, but I feel like I don't see a lot of people talk about him as like a legit NBA prospect. And I think people should talk about, but like he was awesome this year for Duke. And I think it's going to hinge like, Can he continue this efficient shooting into the NBA? He shot above 41% from three this year, but the volume wasn't that high. And he's like such a unique, like funky player. Like he brought the ball up for Duke. He's a great passer, but he's like this like thick, stocky, 6'5" like power wing who is a crazy like dog on ball defender. So I love guys with like weird skill sets and weird body types. I think that's often those like players I like to bet on to end up out like outplaying their expectations. So Sion James is one that I expect to be better than his projection. I feel that way about Deron Williams, who I already talked about. He's a guy who's a second round pick that I think is better than a second round pick. And then I'll go with Jameer Watkins, Florida State wing, who like I think still could technically return to college, which is wild. I'm like, I want to be in on these prospects, but when they're 26 and they end the draft, I'm just not going to be. But at this point, Jimmy Watkins, I think, is going to be 24 on draft night, so already pretty old, but just a really good basketball player and another one of those guys who could be an early career impact player. Just crazy, powerful, long, athletic wing who has developed a ton as a playmaker at Florida State. And, another one of these just like crazy power athletes who has a little bit of passing and shooting juice, I think, to make it work. So those off the top of my head, those are some guys who are like second round undrafted range. Javon Small from West Virginia, just like a 3-and-D point guard type who is a great shooter and an awesome versatile defender. And then there is also Max Scioga, VCU. It's a crazy, crazy shooter, like Duncan Robinson mold. Who could be that? So those are some names for me in like second round guys who I think are going to exceed. Okay, Colts are on the clock. Who are we going to take?
Oh, we got Colts pick up.
We'll give you a break here from talking so you can check out
No,
the
it's
Colts. Shout out
you're going to get
Duncan
my
Robinson.
you're going to get
What?
my live reaction to this Colts pick.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I wish the Steelers had a second round pick, man. This is brutal. But
Background is fun.
Shout out Duncan Robinson, New Hampshire native. So that's cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good picks for sure. Sion James, like back to him real quick. Just off the bench, like so efficient. Just he was such a fun wrinkle in that Duke team. Like
So
they
fun.
just that Duke team, I still can't believe, they lost and like everything that happened, because I just was so with March Madness. I usually just pick the team that has like the most NBA prospects on it. That's kind of the way, or the guys that I think will be actually playing in the
Fair
NBA,
enough.
just because it's like, I think at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, it's like those guys just have that extra oomph that kind of gets them over the way and it tends to work. And I will say my bracket was very good for a very long time until I lost in the final round. But I definitely love Sion James. He's someone I've had my eye on for a while. Could you tell me a little bit about Danny Wolf? I freaking love this guy. Like I was watching, he stood out to me mostly, obviously, watching Michigan in March Madness, and then just seeing like his handle for a guy his size, I'm kind of extremely intrigued by him. And it just feels like to me somehow the Thunder are going to pick him up and just be like, oh, it's a big guy that can handle the ball, and we're going to just stock up on these guys and just do whatever. So I like just tell us a little bit about Danny Wolf and what your thoughts are on him.
Yeah, Wolf is really interesting. A very polarizing player. Just because he is so like weird and unique. There just aren't a lot of bigs who handle the ball like he does. I see him as more of a role player bet. There are some people who think he has like real star upside. I just don't see that because I don't think he has like the advantage creation or like the shooting. Like he takes a lot of tough shots on the ball, and like I feel like you watch him, at least I watch him, and like this is not a guy who I project as like having the same role he has in Michigan at the NBA. But also, I mean, crazy ball handler, really impressive passing vision, and I think there's some interesting stuff with him on defense. Like he is pretty mobile. He is pretty mobile for a big guy. Like he can slide on the perimeter. I don't like he's a weird positional one too. Just because like I don't think he's a center. He's like a four on defense and a five on offense. Like it's just a weird like positional fit and just like a strange kind of profile. So I mean like I feel like sometimes I feel like I don't know what to do with Danny Wolf, but he's certainly talented. And I think just having these kind of, having that kind of talent is worth something. I view him as more of like a early second, like late first type, but there are people who like him a lot, so.
Yeah, and I kind of like the idea of him like ending up in New Orleans or something where they're just like, "Oh, let's just see, like we're kind of in shambles. Maybe it's a later pick and it's like, why not just throw something at the wall and kind of see what sticks?" And that's why I threw out the Thunder one too, because it's like you obviously have an incredible team. They most likely are going to win the finals this year, and it's like, "Well, why not just grab someone like Danny Wolfe that could be something, or if he sucks, who cares?" Like, I just think he's one of those guys. He's very polarizing, like you said. I'm very fascinated with him just because I don't I like that handling. It just kind of keeps me in. But you're totally right. Like, I was watching him and I'm like, his shot diet is something super strange and just stuff like I wasn't I don't know. He definitely is polarizing and very fascinating to me.
Yeah, he's a weird one, for
For
sure.
sure. Trey Johnson is someone that I've struggled with. I like his size. I feel like there was a ton of, I'm a Tennessee fan. I went to Tennessee, so I watched a lot of Tennessee basketball. And I remember in the game against Tennessee when they played Texas, like he just didn't do much. And every time I felt like I was watching Texas, he was one of those guys where it's like, oh shit, fucking Tobias Harris was playing. I didn't even realize. Like, just one of those types of guys at points. But then there's other points where he was really incredibly good. I don't know where I stand with Trey Johnson. Could you point me in a direction? Because I'm lost on him.
Yeah, Trey is an interesting one. One that I've gotten higher on throughout the process because I've gotten higher on his passing ability. But like, he is an interesting one. I think he's just very safe, like someone who I expect to be a very good offensive player. Like, has an easy case as the best shooter in the draft. Like, just stupidly good. Stupidly good shot maker, both on and off the ball. Like, crazy pull-up guy. Awesome movement shooter. I worry about like his ability to get downhill. He's like not that quick, struggles as a finisher, can't really get to the rim, and then defensively is pretty limited as well. But he's someone who I don't think has like a crazy ceiling, but I do think is really safe. Like, I have a hard time seeing him not being a really good offensive piece just because like tall shooters who can really handle and pass, I think, are valuable. Even if it's not like a primary, I do think he can be just like a good like secondary type guy.
Sure.
Colts, I don't think I like this. The Ohio State D defensive end, JTT Tuimoloau.
Yeah, JT to
I don't think I
Tuimoloau,
like that, but I'm also not sure.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to pull up my notes here on him because
I don't have it
I
in
guess
front.
for hobby, because we never ended up actually doing anything with it, but I was extremely invested in this draft. Yeah, I think I liked him. Yeah, I said
I hope so.
solid. I didn't
Okay.
watch a ton of tape. Yeah, just thought,
I'll watch some highlights later and
yeah,
talk myself
talk
into
yourself
him.
into it. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he's got prime, yeah, talking into ability for sure. Yeah, he projects to be a plus starter. That's what they said, so that's
I'll take
good.
that.
Yeah, as
Yeah,
long as the
good
notes
start.
say he projects to be a plus starter, we're good. That's
He
great.
should
He
be good. I'll
should
take
be
your
good.
word for it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, that was really what we had for you today, Ben. I think there's one other final thing. We know you watch a lot of high school basketball, something that I've been trying to get more into, especially because I just moved to Raleigh Durham area, so now it's like all these guys are really good, so should try and watch them more. Is there like who are the people we should keep an eye on in college next year? Now, I know AJ and the Boozer twins are kind of the big one, and Elijah Arenas. Shout out to him, like prayers up for him. He just
Yeah,
was in a
it's
terrible
crazy. It's
accident.
just insane.
So sad. I heard that no broken
Yeah, it seems
bones,
like
and he's talking.
he should be like okay long
Yeah.
term, but still fucking
Yeah.
crazy.
I mean, the guy was in a coma, so like that's freaking insane.
Insane.
But like other than those guys, are there any other guys that you want to like let the world know about, if you will, to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so the main three, right, are the big three are Darren Peterson, AJ DeBanse, Cameron Boozer. I mean, those are the three like main elite guys who are really going to be like the top of next draft. And then just going down, Jaden Quaintance. He was at ASU this year, but was too young to declare for the draft. He transferred to Kentucky freak athlete, amazing defender, like, you know, some offensive flashes. He's one of like these like toolsy upside guys. Nate Ament just committed
Shout
to
out Tennessee, go Vols, baby.
He's a stud. He's so
Yes.
good.
So
Just
hype about
like
him.
6'8", awesome shooter on and off the ball, great ball handler. I love his defense as well. That guy's awesome. Huge fan of his game. Like you mentioned Caden Boozer, Cam Bruce's brother, who I think is like very underrated and should be viewed as a one and done. Just like such a smart, big, high field point guard who I think is going to be really good. And then I'll say Houston. Just like Houston has three like good five stars, which is crazy because Houston's always elite despite never having recruits, and
Yeah.
now they have three like high five stars, which is crazy. My favorite of that group is Kingston Flemings. He's like a hyper athlete point guard who is a really, really good passer, like, you know, manipulative passer, stupid nuclear athlete. Isaiah Harwell is like a smooth, strong combo guard. And then Chris Sinak is like Chris Sinak is just like a toolsy, skilled center bet. So those are my main kind of guys to watch out for.
Sure. Those are all great picks.
Yeah, that'll be fun to look out for, Ben. Thank you for educating us, for dropping all of this knowledge. Max and I have lots of work to do on this draft. We are gonna, catch up, of course, when the NBA season ends, and we'll come at you guys with some more draft content, and hopefully we will know what Ben's talking about with some of these guys. But Ben, thank you so much, man.
For sure. Thanks for having me
I feel
on.
like you're at like 15 different jobs right now. Like you're just doing work for everybody. Do you want to shout anything out?
Sure, working to consolidate, but yeah, I mean, just follow me on Twitter at BJPF underscore. Everything I do will be on there, but I do articles for Sportscasting and Sportskeeda, you know, just draft NBA stuff, and on my YouTube channel, which is just my name. But anyways, thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy talking draft, and now time to go sweat out this Pacers game.
Yes, good luck, man. Hey, I think you guys are all right, I will say.
I hope
Pacers
so, man.
football's
I think we're gonna win this one too, but I'm always nervous. But
sure thing. Absolutely. I mean, you don't need to tell Jordan. I'm a little worried about this Magic game, I will say. But yeah, thank you so much again for coming on.
wouldn't be.
But yeah, thank you again so much for coming on. Thank you all for listening. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe. Leave us a comment too. Check out Ben's work, like he mentioned. We can put some of that in the description description of this video. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music or Deezer or Amazon or wherever else you get this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. It helps us out so very much. And you can comment on some of those platforms as well. So shoot us a comment as well. We will read them and respond to them. But yes, thank you again, Ben, for coming on. Thank you all for listening. We love you all and peace.